Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. The Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam was not the first and he was not the last. He lists off what he considers the 613 mitzvahs. He lists off first the 248 mitzvahs asay, then the 365 mitzvahs lois asay. The Ramban disagrees with the details of the counting of the Rambam. And here and there he deletes some of the mitzvahs that the Rambam included and has to replace them with other mitzvahs, because the Gemara says you have to have 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs lois asay. So the Ramban, in the list of the mitzvahs that he thinks the Rambam forgot to count, lists off a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes Psukim at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, then we have a mitzvah, Harashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo. We have a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael, and we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is why the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Knesset HaGdola writes the reason why the Rambam didn't count it, because the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam has his 14 klolim, the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam's klal is that you only include mitzvahs that are biblical. Tariag mitzvahs nevel ala Moshe Misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that Har Sinai, the mitzvah is deraisa. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah midirabon. This suggestion that the Knesset HaGdola gives, Knesset HaGdola is one of the major poskim, this has not been accepted by the overwhelming majority of the later poskim. They assume that it's not correct. The Rambam also agrees that there's a mitzvah in our Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam thinks that it's included in some other mitzvah. Maybe the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael enhances each other mitzvah. When you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it enhances Shabbos. When you wear tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, it's an enhancement of the mitzvah of tefillin. So it doesn't really belong as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's just a prat within every mitzvah, like the Ramban himself writes on Chumash. Ramban writes that when we observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMashpacha in Eretz Yisrael, that's the main mokum, the main place where Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs really is in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's what some Farshim say, the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, because he thinks it's a chelek of every other mitzvah. Others say that it's a mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of Osidbok, we should become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by living in Eretz Yisrael. Different explanations. When you look in a big Sefer HaMitzvah, so the standard commentary on the side is the Megillah Esther. It was written by a man. His mother Esther passed away, so right as he was going to print, so he wanted to memorialize his mother, so he called it Megillah Esther. And he comes to defend the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah. So he gives a different explanation. He writes that the Rambam listed also in the 14 guiding principles, the Rambam writes that a mitzvah only belongs in the minyan HaMitzvahs, only belongs here if it's a mitzvah hanoheges ledoros. If it's a hirasha, only applies in one generation, then it's not called a mitzvah. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim on the opening pasuk in Parshas Sabe, loshen sabe, loshen ziris miyado ledoros. A mitzvah is a technical term that means an obligation that's binding throughout all the future generations. So this mitzvah, all of a sudden Megillah says this mitzvah of establishing a Medina, we weren't talking about establishing, we're talking about living in Eretz Yisrael. So it's the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael is not Noeg L'doros, because the Gemara in the end of Ksubas quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim that appears three times in Shir HaShirim, Ishbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim, that Sholosh Shavuos Hishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three oaths, and one of them is, we're not going to force the issue of establishing a Medina. That's the famous Sholosh Shavuos. When the Zionist movement began years ago, way before 1948, so some of the Rabbanim were opposed, the minority of the Rabbanim, that they made so much noise, they get the impression, like the Turakarta used to take out full page ad in the New York Times, you would think, me or there, how many people there are in Turakarta? 4.5 people, the whole Turakarta. But they make so much noise, and now they can't afford the full page ad anymore, so now they have a little ad. That they're opposed to, whenever they have the Israeli parades, so they're opposed to Hakam Samdin, they're opposed to everything. So a minority of the Rabbanim said that the Torah, the Jewish position, is against establishing a Medina because of the Sholosh Shavuos. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take an oath that we're not going to force the Yishim, we're not going to force against the wishes of the Goyim, we're not going to force him to be. So the Megillas Esther understood that the Ramban is asking on Hakamas on Medina. Why the Ramban didn't count the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael? That's a mistake. The Ramban did count that mitzvah. That wasn't the Hasog of the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Gemara. That you look in the Ramban, the beginning of Hilchas Melachim. The Ramban quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, from the second parak in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Gimel mitzvah nitztavi Yisrael b'chnisasim la'aretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. First is Lahamid Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough just that we'll live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah that Eretz Yisrael should be under Jewish control with a Jewish government. Then Lahachrizara Shal Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, whoever they are. Then Levnes Lahabes Abchira, to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Rama did count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his famous essays, he writes that sometimes history shows which way we pass. Sometimes Hashgach Men HaShemayim shows. So he says, Hashgach Men HaShemayim, in 1948, they established a Medina, so that indicates that Men HaShemayim, they pass like the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. But it's not the Ramban. The Rambam also said there's a mitzvah of establishing a Medina. The whole issue between the Rambam and the Ramban is, Ramban says that there's a separate mitzvah in addition to the mitzvah establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam also agrees. The Pashta says that it's a din min haTorah. Not like the Knesset HaGedolah said, the Rambam holds that it's only Rabban. The Rambam agrees that it's a din min haTorah, but for some reason or another, he thinks that it's included in some other mitzvah. It's a mitzvah klolis. It's not that the Rambam disagrees. So this Megillas Esther always comes to defend the Rambam. If you look, those who study the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, so the Migdalois on the bottom of the page always comes to defend the Rambam. So whenever the Ravid asks kashas against the Rambam is against the Gemara, black and white against the Gemara, Migdalois always right. No, the Rambam is right. The Rambam is always right. Every time the Rambam is right, how can it be? So Megillas Esther also, yes, no, the Rambam is right. So sometimes he gives a good explanation, sometimes not so good, sometimes a big doichik. So here, the Megillas Esther is the first one who made a big fuss about the Shalosh Shavuos. Later in the First World War, when the Zionist movement became stronger in Europe and so on, so the Minkatcher Rebbe was the main opponent to Zionism. Everything was based on this Megillas Esther, the Shalosh Shavuos. The poskim don't quote the Shalosh Shavuos. None of the poskim. The Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, nobody quotes the Shalosh Shavuos. It's an agarata. We're not sure exactly what it means. But that was the Megillas Esther was the one who put this on the map. The Shalosh Shavuos, and you're not allowed to establish a Medina against the wishes of the Ummah Soil. It's interesting. After the First World War was over and they divided parts of Europe, after the war was over, and they divided parts of Europe, so the British agreed that they're going to give Palestine to the Jewish people. They said the Balfour Declaration. So the Osamech wrote a letter at that time after San Roman was a city where they signed the peace agreement, I think, after the First World War. So after San Roman, so Sor Pachad HaShavuos, we don't have to be worried anymore about the Shalosh Shavuos, because it's not against the wishes of the Ummah Soilem. All the Ummah Soilem agreed that they're going to give Palestine to the Jewish people, part of Palestine to the Jewish people. So I'll call upon him this. Everybody agrees to this. There's an interesting tshuva in Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe who died about 100 years ago. So they asked him, the wording of the Shaila was, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? And if there is, how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? Because he was a Chassidish Rebbe. So he says, absolutely, there is a mitzvah, and he rips apart everything the Megillas Esther writes. He says, Megillas Esther misunderstood the Ramban, misunderstood the whole thing. And he said, there certainly is a mitzvah. How come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't go? So he says, the real mitzvah is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not just Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, not just to live in Eretz Yisrael, to do something productive. Someone's going to have a farm, and he's going to plant. Someone's going to pave highways. Someone's going to do security. Someone's going to be in the army. Someone's going to be in politics, going to do something to build up the country. The Chassidish Rebbe is over 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they moved to Eretz Yisrael, their Chassidim would certainly support them. They would send money from Chutzlar. They would be living in Eretz Yisrael. They wouldn't accomplish anything for the country. They wouldn't be working with their Chassidim. So they would have yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, but they wouldn't have yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael. Yish Haaretz means to do something productive, so the mitzvah would only be Shelo Bishlei Musa, so that's why they chose to live in Chutz La'aretz, to have a hashpo on their balabat. I don't know, he didn't really have to go so far. We have in the days of the Gemara, Rav Shmuel learned in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and Shmuel didn't get smicha, and then they both left Eretz Yisrael in order to establish yeshivas in Chutz La'aretz. So you see from the Gemara that even though certainly they were living in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you have to do Harbatzah Satar in Chutz La'aretz, you move to Chutz La'aretz. So they used to say for years that anyone who's in Rabbonis or in Chinuch in Chutz La'aretz is fighting assimilation and fighting intermarriage, and they're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. They used to have a lashon that it's like the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave until all the passengers are taken care of, and the general in the army is not allowed to leave until he wins the battle. He's not allowed to leave in the middle, so the rabbonim are like the captain of the ship and the general in the army. So I used to laugh in my heart, was hakta chaynik about the captain of the ship, and where did he get such a lashon from? So then years later, I saw that, I don't think Rav Soloveitchik saw it there, I saw that Rav Kook had arranged, when Rav Kook was the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, he arranged that Rav Chaim Moshe should move to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Chaim Moshe was in Vilna, and he had an apartment for him, and he had a parnos, and he had a title. Rav Kook was going to be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Chaim Moshe was going to be Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla. That was going to be his official title, Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla. Chief rabbi of the world. Rav Kook was going to be chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Moshe is the chief rabbi of the rest of the world. And then the last minute, Rav Chaim Moshe backed out, and he sent him a letter that the Rabbanim in Vilna say that they still need me there, so I'm not allowed to leave. And he quotes a tshuva from the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik was a student of the Chasam Sofer. During the lifetime of the Chasam Sofer, the reform movement began, but it wasn't so strong. After he passed away, then it became even stronger. So the Maharam Shik, who was a student of the Chasam Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer, who was the son of the Chasam Sofer, they were the ones who... The main Rabbanim who were fighting with all the Hungarian rabbis, they were fighting reform in Hungary. So one of the Talmidim of the Maharam Shik, who was in Rabbanis in Hungary, was successful fighting reform, but he didn't enjoy it. So he was offered a position of Rabbanis in the late 1800s in Eretz Yisrael. He should sit and learn and give shiurim and paskan shailas and live in Eretz Yisrael. So he felt mamish gan eden. So he packed all of his things and he's ready to move to Eretz Yisrael. And he sent a letter to his Rebbe, to the Maharam Shik. He wants a blessing over the move. So the Maharam Shik writes him back a letter that's included in Shalas Teshuvas, the end of Yerideya, the section where it has all the dinim about Eretz Yisrael and Yerideya. He says, I can't give you a bracha. It's keneged adin. You're not allowed to leave. And he says, the rabbi is like the captain of the ship and general in the army, the whole story, the whole chagadya. And you're not allowed to leave because how do you know what's going to be after you leave? Maybe the next rabbi will not be successful in fighting the reform. And he tells a story that they say they don't have any other source, historical source for this story, that the Chasam Sofer he was brought up in Frankfurt, and he signs all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotam in Frankfurt. And he was a rabbi in Hungary, so how did the Yekke work in there, a rabbi in Hungary? So he always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. He always wanted to go back. So he was offered, after being a rabbi in Pressburg for many years, he was offered a rabbanis, the Kavadika Rabbanis in Frankfurt, so he was going to leave. He was going to go back to Frankfurt. And then the Balabatim in Pressburg heard about it, so they came to his home and they pleaded with him he shouldn't leave. If he's going to leave, maybe the next rabbi will not be successful in fighting the reform. So he said that didn't occur to him and he felt obligated to stay. So he never went back to Frankfurt, even though that's what he really wanted for many years before. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say for many years. He felt that, like Rabbi Shmuel, were in Eretz Yisrael. They were learning in Eretz Yisrael, and they went to Babel to establish yeshivas in two different cities, and each one was successful in his own way. So too, Rav Soloveitchik thought today, like the Maharam Shik writes, that all the Rabbanim who are accomplishing, if they're successful in the rabbinate, so they should stay to be machzik Torah and chutz la'aretz. So this we all agree. So the Avodah Zarah has this tshuva that there certainly is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today, and he disagrees with everything the Megillas Esther wrote. He said Megillas Esther totally missed the whole hasog of the Ramban. He thought the hasog of the Ramban was why the Ramban didn't count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. That the Ramban did count. The hasog was why the Ramban didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He gives a different reason why the Ramban didn't count it. He develops the whole theme. He says, whenever you have two mitzvahs, one mitzvah leads to another, So that's like a kefal mitzvah. So the Rambam is not going to count it twice. So we have the Rambam counting mitzvah, hachrim tachrimim. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to wipe out the Zionumis. What do you have to wipe out? Going to wipe out Zionumis, then we're going to move back to Borough Park. It doesn't make sense. You wipe out the Zionumis, you should live there in Eretz Yisrael. Since the mitzvah, hachrim tachrimim, leads up to the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why the Rambam didn't count it as two mitzvahs. It's a kefala mitzvah. The Rama has one of the klolim. If you have a pasuk written five times, you don't count it five times as five mitzvah. A kefala mitzvah, only count it once. So this, we assume there really is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What if a person only goes to visit Eretz Yisrael? Is that also a mitzvah? Does he have partial schar? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Erev Shabbos quotes the machlokes from the Knesset HaGdolah. Is there a partial mitzvah? The mitzvah of Bishleimus is to live in Eretz, to do something productive for the Jewish economy in Eretz Yisrael, for the Jewish country, to build it up. Just to live in Eretz Yisrael, if it's not a Jewish economy, it's not a Jewish country, just to live over the money that you get from Chutz L'Aretz, so that's what the Abenezer has his famous tshuva, that's not a mitzvah. Unless a Jewish economy, so you're helping out the economy by spending your money there. So there's a din in the Gemara that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that one is not permitted to go on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos unless you're going l'dvar mitzvah. Different reasons why, but that's a din in Shulchan Aruch. So what's considered a dvar mitzvah? So if a person is going to move to Eretz Yisrael, that's a dvar mitzvah. So Nagan Avron quotes the Machloikas from the Knesset HaGdolah. What if the person is just going to tour Eretz Yisrael and he plans to move back to Chutz L'Aretz? Is that a partial Kiyumah mitzvah or not? Are you permitted to go on a boat trip? Today no one's going to go by boat, you're going to go by plane, you can go, mamash. I arrive every so often, Erev Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael is not a problem. This din only applied years ago for various reasons. Why not go on a boat 3 days before Shabbos? Doesn't apply today. So that's a machlokes in the Magen Avraham. What's the reason why some are of the opinion that there's a partial mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael? So it's based on the concluding pasuk in Shiras HaZino. The pasuk says there will be a terrible holocaust and people will be wondering the Omru Ayei Elohim Otzucha Soya Bo Shechelu Sochem Echeli Yishta Yei Nisicham. The people will ask, where was God when all of this was happening? That's exactly what happened during the holocaust. They said, where was the God of the Jewish people when all this was happening? Then the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will end this holocaust and then the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael. B'chiper ad masai amai. So Rashi says, Pshuto shal mikra, b'chiper means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease ad masai, he will appease his land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease Eretz Yisrael for so many years. It was in a state of churban, and then it was built up after the Holocaust was over. And b'chiper amai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his nation. The Jewish people are rebuilding. The people were penniless when they came to America, and then they became multimillionaires, and everybody raised families, and so on. We overcame, those who survived, overcame all of the tzaras. So the Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes, the Pshuta Shal Mikra, the Chippa Ad Masa Amah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land, he'll appease Eretz Yisrael, he will appease the Jewish people. But then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, and Amdiki Yotim De Pshuta, the Pshuta is correct, but the additional level of interpretation is also correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there's more than one intention. The author had more than one intention at the time that he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the additional level of interpretation is v'chipa ad masai amai, that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael get a mechilas avinus. And the Gemara has an expression, one who walks dalan amas in Eretz Yisrael gets a mechilas avinus. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Knesset HaGdolah. If a person goes to tour Eretz Yisrael, he walks dalan amas, then he goes back to America, he has a partial kiyumah mitzvah because it's mechilas avinus. So some are of the opinion that if you just go, you walk dalan amas, you come back on the next plane to Chutz L'Aretz, you already have a kiyumah mitzvah. Others disagree and they say, no, the Gemara in Bava Basra has, there are certain dinim that depend on living in a city for 30 days, and the other dinim depend on living in the city for 12 months. So some poskim are of the opinion there's only a partial kiyumah mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael for a minimum of 30 days, and others say there's a partial kiyumah mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael for at least a year. Yud Beis Chodesh. You just walked al anamah, that's a different thing. That's the chiper abmas anamah, that's mechilas avinus, but it's not a partial kiyumah mitzvah. So let's say if a person is taking a sabbatical, a person going to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year, and he's not coming back for Pesach. He's going to stay there for a whole year. So if you can make the ticket for slightly more than a year, slightly less than a year, so you should try to make it for slightly more than a year. If a person is going to Eretz Yisrael for approximately a month, and you can make a ticket either for slightly more than a month or less than a month, you should make it for slightly more than a month, because some poskim are of the opinion that there's only a partial kiyum mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael temporarily for 30 days, and others say if you live in Eretz Yisrael for at least Yud Beis Chodesh. When a plane takes off, the common practice is that we all say Tfilas Aderach, like if you go on any trip, Michutz Lo'ir. The Ragachava was famous. He had his Chiddush based on the Gemara. The Gemara in the end of Chulin, Perk Shiloh HaKan. Gemara says, Ki Koryu Lefanecha Kan Tzipa Baderach, Baderach Lo Ba'avir. If you're flying in the middle of the year, what the Gemara meant, I'm not sure. If you're flying in the middle of the year and you happen to bump into a Kan Tzipa, so there's no mitzvah, Shiloh HaKan. So he says, since the Chachamim were Mesakan Tfilas HaDerach, and the Gemara says, the word Derach in Biblical Hebrew means Derach Lo Ba'avir, so when you go by plane, you don't say Tfilas Aderach. We don't assume like that. Everybody does say Tfilas Aderach when you go by plane. When you say the Tfilas Aderach, so some have the practice, many Gdolim have the practice, if you're going to go on a trip, you say Tfilas Aderach before you even take off. I plan to drive to Boston, so before I even turn on the ignition in the car, I already say Tfilas Aderach. Most people don't do that. Most people say the Tfilas Aderach when they leave the city. Here, by the Tfilas Aderach, by a plane trip, I think they assume that the biggest sakana is when the plane is before it takes off. So you should really say Tfilas Aderach as the plane is taxiing, as it's about to take off. That's probably the best time to say the Tfilas Aderach. There's an issue of minyanim on the airplane. Every couple of years, different gedolim, different tzaddikim are always commenting that they think it's highly improper that people organize minyanim on the plane. They wake everybody up and they get in the way of the stewardesses and they get in the way people want to use the restroom in the back. I think it's terrible. I don't like it. But whenever I go to Eretz Yisrael, there's always some good Samaritan. He says, "Oh, Rabbi Shechter, there's a minyan in the back." Because I got no choice. I have to go to the minyan. But I can't daven with the minyan. I daven so quickly anyway. So I'm there from the beginning of the first minute till the end of the third minyan. Till I daven. And that's what skipping also. That's I skip every other paragraph in the Pesuk of the Zimra. I think it's more correct that people should sit in their seat and they should daven Shema Nesser sitting also. If you're traveling, you can daven Shema Nesser in a sitting position as well. It's not right, unless some of the planes have a special location in the back for the, okay? Some of the planes have a special location to daven, so it's okay. A lot of people, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people go to sleep, and they wake up, and then they start davening shacharis when they wake up. But they're davening shacharis, it's already time to daven mincha. You're going east, so the shkia keeps on getting earlier, and all the zman keep on becoming an hour earlier and earlier. So by the time they wake up, they already missed the zman tefillah, it's after chatzos. We assume, based on Gemara's in the end of Shabbos, if you're in a very high elevation, the zmanim are determined by sea level. Wherever the zman would be below you, the zmanim, they should daven before they go to sleep, not after they wake up. The Gemara has a takana after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Tanoim made a takana that you have to rip kriya over the three different chorbanas. Is it then that when you see Yerushalayim b'chorban, you have to rip kriya? When you see the Beis HaMikdash in the state of chorban, you have to rip kriya. When you see Or Yehuda b'chorbanam, you have to rip kriya. And each time you recite a different pasuk. What exactly does that mean if you see Or Yehuda b'chorbanam? So years ago, Beis Lechem used to be under control of the Jewish army, and then the government gave it over to the control of the Palestinian authorities. So at that time, I think the Sephardic chief rabbi was Mordechai Eliyahu. So they quoted him in the newspapers that he said that now when you go visit Beis Lechem, you go to visit Kever Rochel, so you have to rip kriya. So in the media, they were attacking him, why he's taking a stand on a political issue. He wasn't taking a stand on a political issue, he's just saying it didn't. The Kol Zman is under Jewish control, it's considered the binyanoi. When you give it up, when it's under non-Jewish control, then it's considered b'chorbanoi. What it says in the Magen Avraham quotes from an earlier poskim, Or Yehuda, let's say there are cities in Eretz Yehuda where all the inhabitants, all the people are Jewish who live there. But it's under non-Jewish control. So the Magen Avraham quotes the earlier poskim to say that even though the city, the overwhelming majority of the population of the city is Jewish, but it's under non-Jewish control, that's considered Ar Yehuda b'Churbanam. So the Poskim assume, it's not exactly the same, Poskim assume if it would be the reverse, if it would be, let's say, Beis Lechem, there are only Arabs there, there are no Jews there. So it's all Arabs, but if it's under Jewish control, then it's called Bibinyanai. Doesn't really say that. Maybe you need both. Maybe you need the majority of the population should be Jewish and it should be under Jewish control. But that's what they were assuming for many years. Any city or Yehuda, even if it's all the inhabitants are non-Jews, but if it's under Jewish control, that's considered Bibinyanai. But once they gave over Beis Lechem to the Palestinian Authority, that's under non-Jewish control. The inhabitants are non-Jews, the Arabs, and it's under Arab control. Then it's considered b'churbanam. So Rabbi Chaliyahu just said what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now when you visit, you have to recreate. He didn't say you have to recreate over the government's decision to give it to the Palestinians. He wasn't talking about the government's decision, just saying what the din is. Once under non-Jewish control, you have to recreate. It's considered Ar Yehuda b'churbanam. Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook was of the opinion that this applies to the Makom HaMikdash as well. So he was of the opinion that since after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, the Makom HaMikdash is under Jewish control, so the Beis HaMikdash is no longer considered b'churbanam. So you don't have to rip Kriya. Rav Soloveitchik disagreed very strongly about this. He thought it was utterly ridiculous. Beis HaMikdash b'binyanai, because under Jewish control. But there's no Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash b'binyanai means you have a Beis HaMikdash. He disagreed very much. So when I printed this in one of my svarim, I didn't want to be mevazer Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. So I wrote that one of the young rabbis from the Mizrahi said that you don't have to rip Kriya. So the people from Merkos Arav came to me and said, what do you mean, young rabbi? Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook said that. So I said, I know, but I didn't want to be mevazer. I didn't want to be mevazer him. So I wrote it, I camouflaged it. I said, a young rabbi from the Mizrahi wrote like that. Rav Soloveitchik thought that didn't make sense at all. Beis HaMikdash b'churbanam means when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash b'binyanai means when you do have a Beis HaMikdash. The question is, what about ripping Kriya over Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim has a double status. Yerushalayim is Mikdash Melech Er Melucha. It's officially the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Melachim, he quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, Yerushalayim al Pidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael when you have a Jewish government of the Malchus Beis David. Only the official government is supposed to use Yerushalayim as the official capital. Official government is the Malchus Beis David. That's why many say that the American Congress didn't want the Jewish people to violate the din, so that's why they never wanted to recognize Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, because it's not yet Malchus Beis David. Apparently now, Mr. Donald Trump knows something that we don't know. He holds that Mashiach is on his way. Melech HaMashiach is on his way. We have to establish Yerushalayim as the capital to prepare for the Malchus Beis David. Okay? So Yerushalayim has a double status. Al Pidin, it's officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Number two, it's the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that the takana of ripping Kriya on the Yerushalayim b'churbanai is because Yerushalayim is the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. You eat the Korban Pesach, you eat the Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. So Kolzman, there's no Beis HaMikdash. All of Yerushalayim, even if it's built up with beautiful hotels and whatever, all of Yerushalayim is considered b'churbanai. Others disagree. The classical poskim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the classical poskim who think that you rip Kriya on Yerushalayim b'churbanam because it's the Ir HaBira, because it used to be the capital. So now it's no longer the capital. So right after, the day after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, the government moved some of the offices. I think the Masad HaMishpatim was moved right away, within a week, a few days right after the war was over. They moved, the Ministry of Justice was moved to the Ir Atika. So it was again the capital. They established it as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So that's really a question. Those who always follow Rav Soloveitchik would have to rip Kriya when you come to the old city of Bizman Hazeh. And those who don't always follow Rav Soloveitchik, so there's a suffix in Kriya, so you go Lakula. Suffix in Kriya, go Lakula, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever there's a suffix about ripping Kriya, so you go Lakula, number one. The whole mitzvah of Kriya is only with the Rabban, it's a Safik the Rabban Lekula. Number two, it's a Safik Bal Tashchis. You're going to rip your begodim. Exactly how does one rip Kriya? So the Gemara draws a distinction between ripping Kriya when a parent dies as opposed to ripping Kriya on other relatives. When one rips Kriya when a parent dies, you have to rip, number one, Kol HaBgodim Sholom, you have to rip all the clothing that he's wearing. And number two, you have to rip Achigalas Libot. It's not enough just to rip a Tefach. When you start ripping Kriya, one has to rip a minimum of Tefach. It has to be in a vertical Kriya, not horizontal. And there has to be at least a Tefach. But Alov Valim, you have to rip Achigalas Libot. So that's why the minig developed that when one rips Kriya for appearance, he rip on the left side, because the heart is on the left side. And by the other relatives, where you don't have to rip Achigalas Libot, so you rip on the right side. Many Svartim have the meaning just the reverse, that when a parent dies, you rip Kriya on the right side, it's Machashuv, and when another relative dies, you rip Kriya on the left side. It's not Me'akev, the right side, left side, it's not Me'akev. Remember, I once went to a funeral, so a prominent rabbi had passed away, and his son is a prominent rabbi also. So the son must have ripped Kriya by mistake on the right side. Then he's going to go up and say Hesped over his father, everybody's going to see that he ripped Kriya on the wrong side. So he ripped Kriya on the left side also. So he went up, the both lapels were torn. The right side, the left side, everything was torn. Okay. The din is it's not Me'akev. So the minig is that when one sees the... Here there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raiva. The Gemara says they're ripping Kriya by the Kosel Amarabi, if a person hasn't been there in 30 days. So one rips Kriya. So... It's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the din of ripping Kriya kol ha-begodim sha'olav, you rip Kriya all the begodim that you're wearing, does that carry over here as well or not? So Safik Kriya, we go the kula. You have to rip Achigala Sliboy. Yeah. They have in the Rabbi Horowitz, who was a Talmud of the Stipler for 50 years as a teenager. He learned in the Stipler's class in Bnei Brak. And then he maintained contact for 40, 50 years after. So he wrote every sneeze about the stipula. How many times he went to the bathroom on Yom Kippur. And he washed his hands till here, till there. It's a little ridiculous. But he writes all the hanhogas of the stipula. So he writes that when this stipula's wife passed away, so Rabbi Yashiv came from Yerushalayim to be Menachem Oval because his daughter was married to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's mother had died. So he ripped Kriya on the lapel. People usually rip Kriya on the lapel. So when the lapel is folded over, so the top part, when you rip Kriya, you have the bottom part of the garment is covering up the same part of the body that the top part covers up. So when you rip Kriya, you rip down the lapel. So you're not megala anything. You're not megala any part of the body. Because it's a double, it's the same garment. And this only covers over the bottom part of the garment. So Rav Yashiv told Rav Chaim Kanievsky he thinks he should rip Kriya again. You have to rip over here. Not enough just to rip the lapel because you're not megala any part of the body. Rav Chaim Kanievsky stood up. You have to rip Kriya standing. Stood up and he ripped the beged like this. The stipler was hard of hearing, so he didn't hear the whole topic. It was his wife who died. It wasn't the parents. So he didn't have to rip Achigalas Libot. He only had to rip a tefach. So he ripped over here. He didn't hear the whole conversation. So it didn't apply to him. It was his wife who passed away. So he just saw Rabbi Yashin made his son rip again. So he stood up and he ripped again also. But it's an interesting comment that if you have to rip Achigala Sliba and you rip just the lapel, so you're not megala anything. You're not megala any part of the body. The Gemara says when you rip Kriya, you don't rip on a beged zeya. That's on an undershirt. That's a beged zeya, you don't rip Kriya. And then you don't rip Kriya on a beged shal kovet. If it's only, a person wears a kapata. So he doesn't wear the kapata all day long. When he davens, when he put on a jacket, we have central heating in all of our homes. So we don't wear a jacket to keep warm. You wear a jacket when you daven. We wear a jacket when you see a business meeting, out of respect for the other person. But you don't wear it to keep yourself warm. So many hold that you don't rip Kriya on a jacket, you don't rip Kriya on an undershirt. What about ripping Kriya on an Arba Kamphus? So that's a machlokes. So the Netziv writes in his Tshuvas that when his mother passed away, he didn't rip Kriya on the Arba Kamphus, on the Beged Cotton, because he thought that it's only L'Shem Mitzvah, it's like a beggar L'Shem Kovet. It's not really a beggar that he wears to keep his body warm. He wears it L'Shem Mitzvah. He only left with the shirt. The many poskim hold that the shirt is also a beggar Zeya. Every day you change your shirt. So some hold the shirt is a beggar Zeya, so there's nothing to rip Kriya on. So that's a question. How do you rip Kriya? So by other the emo, The din requires you have to rip kriya kol abgadim shalom. So the common practice is that if it's a man, the man rips kriya on the jacket, on the shirt. The common practice is we don't rip kriya on the arbekamfis, even though there are those who disagree with the nitzim. We don't rip kriya on the undershirt. If it's a different relative who dies, you're only going to rip one beged. So that's the question. You're going to rip the jacket. The jacket probably is a beged covet. We don't wear the jacket. We have central heating. We don't wear the jacket to keep warm. We only wear the jacket when we meet the Adam Chasha. When you go daven, you wear a beged. You wear a jacket. But so that's the shaila. If you're only going to rip one beged when you go to the Kosel HaMaravi, so we don't follow that opinion. You have to rip kriya kol abgadim sha'olav. You only rip one beged. So the one beggar that you're going to rip, the pashtus is it shouldn't be the jacket, because the jacket is only the covered bialma, beggar covered. You should probably rip on the shirt. Chacham Avadya has an interesting tshuva. He discusses a situation where a person sees live telecasting from the Kosel HaMaravi. He's watching what's happening right now by the Kosel HaMaravi. So is that considered as if you're seeing the Kosel HaMaravi and you have to rip kriya or not? If they show you a video, so that was something that happened 50 years ago, so that's not, you're not seeing, you're seeing a photograph. But if it's a live broadcast, maybe that's considered seeing the Kosel HaMaravi. So he writes, he's mesupik what the din is. So he says if a person hasn't been by the Kosel HaMaravi in 30 days and he sees a live broadcast, he says, mitam safik, he doesn't have the rip kriya. But then if he goes to Eretz Yisrael within 30 days, so maybe it did count. When he saw the live broadcast, maybe it did count, so he doesn't have the rip kriya because he just saw the Kosel HaMaravi within 30 days. So he thinks in such case he should go to Kula. He shouldn't rip kriya. There's clearly a minig by the Kosel HaMaravi that people who go for the first time on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon don't rip kriya. So all of the poskim say that this is incorrect. It's based on a mistake. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Truvas, it's based on a mistake, but you should ascertain if it's really the minig, which it clearly is. And then he says you should follow the minig. Others say, why? It's absolutely incorrect. The mistake comes from the following. There is a din that one does not observe Avelis on Yontov or on Chol HaMoed. So let's say someone dies on Chol HaMoed, so the Kvura takes place on Chol HaMoed, but they don't begin Shiva till after Yontov is over. They don't begin counting the Shiva till after Yontov is over. And if the people started Shiva before, so when Yontov comes, it cancels the Shiva, and after the middle of Shloshim, when Yontov comes, it cancels the Shloshim, because on Yontov there's a mitzvah, Esed the Rabbim of Simcha, Simchas Yontif and Esid Yochid of Avela, so also Esid the Rabbin, Dochi Esid the Yochid. The mitzvah Sesi of Simchas Yontif takes precedence over the mitzvah of Avela. So there is a big dispute in Rishonim. What about Erev Pesach after Chatzos? So we call holiday of Pesach, we call it Pesach. In the Chumash, that's called Chag HaMatzos. In the Chumash, Chag HaPesach is Erev Pesach after Chatzos, when you bring the Hakrovas Korban Pesach. What we call Pesach in the Chumash is called Chag HaMatzos. So Tosfos is of the opinion that only when Yontif Pesach enters, what we call Pesach. Erev Pesach is not a Yontif, and one has to observe Avelus just like Erev Shabbos. Every Yontif, Erev Yontif, so Erev Pesach the same as Erev Shabbos. One observes Avelus till it is late as one can, till the end of the day. And then the Yontif is going to cancel the Shiva, Yontif is going to cancel the Shlosh. And the Urzarua, one of the later Balei HaTosfos, disagrees and is of the opinion there are two different Yom HaTovim. Pesach is the same as Shavuos and Sukkos, but Erev Pesach in the afternoon is Chag HaPesach, so that at Chatzos it cancels the Shiva, it cancels the Shloshim, because Erev Pesach is already a Yontif. So we know the Gemara has a rule, whenever there's a Machloikas and Hilchas Avelus, you go Lekula. Even if the opinion that's Mekel is a minority opinion, if there's any Sufik Holdahu, so one goes Lekula in Avelus. So that's the common Psak for Ashkenazim. I don't know about Sfarim, Ashkenazim, that's the Ramo quotes this, that we follow the Oza Ruah Lehokel, that we don't observe Avim. If one is in the middle of Shiva, so it comes Chatzos on Erev Pesach, that's already Yontif, so you have to terminate the Shiva before Chatzos, and if one is in Shloshim, when it comes Chatzos, Erev Pesach, that terminates the Avelus. So the Pesachei Teshuva writes in Yerideya that many people make a mistake. They think that this carries over to every other Erev Yontif, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yom Kippur, and Erev Sukkot, and Erev Shavuos. That's a mistake. And Erev Shabbos. I live in Washington Heights. So there was a period of time that Rabbi Schwab was the rabbi there in the community. So everybody knew he was going to come be Menachem Avot Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Because people make a mistake. They think every Erev Shabbos he called a quits at Chatzai. So everybody knew Rabbi Schwab is going to come at 2 o'clock to tell them that they have to observe Avelis till late in the day. There is no such din. That's a carryover from Erev Pesach, and that's a mistake. So this din that one doesn't observe Avelis, that's only one doesn't observe Avelis on Chol HaMoed. Let's say someone dies and they bury him on Chol HaMoed. So you rip Kriya, the relatives rip Kriya. The Gemara says that Kriya is not a form, Kriya is not an aspect of Avelis. So one does, you don't rip Kriya on Shabbos and Yonta, but one does rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed. But the Mogen Avraham says that ripping Kriya over the coastal of Maravi in Or Yehuda B'chor Banam, that's a Nihug Avelis. So he says if it's Chol HaMoed, the first time you go is Chol HaMoed, then he says one would not rip Kriya. Or Ketanim, children before Bar Mitzvah, so if the child is old enough to understand that a parent died or a sibling died, someone died, so he's old enough. So if he's a Gil Chinuch, so you have to train the child that he should rip Kriya, but you don't do Kriya on Avelis. Strictly speaking, there's no Chinuch. There's no Chinuch on Avelis. There is Chinuch on ripping Kriya, but there's no Chinuch on Avelis. So the Magen Avraham says, but ripping Kriya by the coast of Maravi, these Kriyas are Yehuda B'chor Banim and Yir Atika and Beis HaMikdash B'chor Banim. This is a form of Nihug Avelis. So if the child is a cotton, so then he doesn't rip Kriya. Or if it's Chol HaMoed, you don't rip Kriya. So if Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and we assume in Shulchan Aruch that one, we follow the Orza Ruh L'Hok, that one doesn't observe Avelis Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it's Chag HaPesach, it's not Chag HaMatzos, but it's Chag HaPesach. So one would not rip Kriya if you go to the coastal of Maravi on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So they made a mistake, just like in Hilchos Avelis, they carried over this kula from Erev Pesach after Chatzos to every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. So I remember once I went to meet Menachem Ola by a certain balabas. So I went to his home on Friday morning. That was Mama's reason, Magdim LeMitzvah. He went to work that day. He was in the middle of Shiva. He thought Erev Shabbos, starting from the morning. He davened. I came around 10 o'clock. There was nobody home. He went to work. He was going to sit Shiva on Sunday. He was going to continue sitting Shiva. People think that Erev Shabbos, you know, that's a total mistake. But even Erev Shabbos after Chatzos is also a mistake. So ripping Kriya by the coast of Maravi, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, that is correct. That since we assume there's no Nihug Avelis, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and ripping Kriya by the coast is a form of Nihug Avelis, so that's why one would not rip, one would not rip the Kriya on Erev Pesach. But Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, that's not really right. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that if the living conditions in Eretz Yisrael are really extremely uncomfortable, so then one is permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. If there's a Shnas Batzoris, Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him come to Eretz Yisrael. And he comes and Vayir Ob Ba'aretz. So he left. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, quoted by the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, in the Megillas Rus that we read on Shavuos, so we read the terrible tragedy about Naomi, that her children died at a young age and never had any children of their own, and the whole tragic story. So what avera did they do that they were punished for? So the Gemara said the avera was that they left Eretz Yisrael, but there was a famine, so they had a right to leave. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says in Megillas Rus that they were Ephrasim. What do you mean, Ephrasim? So Rashi has two pshat, and one pshat, Ephrasim Anashim Chashuvim. So the Gemara has a concept that appears quite a few times in the Talmud Bavli. The Shach points out in Yeridei in one place, in Hilchos Rivas, that it never appears in the Yerushalmi. But we in Shulchan Aruch, they pass on like the Bavli, that there is a concept of Odom Choshuv Shaini. A person is an Odom Choshuv, has to be Machmir on different things. You have it by Bisholakom, you have it by different, very many different areas. The Balabatim look up to the rabbi and they think the rabbi is supposed to be more machman than everybody else. Whatever the rabbi does, the Balabatim will observe 10 madregas lower. So the rabbi will just follow what the din is, so the Balabatim will be mezalzal on some of the din. So the Anoshim Chashuvim, Adam Chashuv Shaini, has to be more machmer on certain things. So it says in the Megillas Rus that the Omi and her family were Ephrosim, they were Anoshim Chashuvim. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara Baba Basra, they shouldn't have left, even though it was a Shnaz Batzer, they shouldn't have left, they should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael, because of them, everyone looked up to them, so everybody was Mezalzel, and a lot of people left when it was too early for them. I remember once I spoke in Los Angeles for the OU. Every year they have something at the end of December, between December 25th and January 1st, they have public shiurim. And then I went on an LL flight from Los Angeles, we're going to stop in New York and go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to go visit the different yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael for the yeshiva, for YU. It took a while till the plane took off, so I was sitting on the plane, said somebody from the business class went to the back to use the restroom. He looked very familiar. I didn't remember exactly how. He was wearing torn jeans, and he was wearing sneakers without any socks. So when he came back from the restroom to the front, so he says to me, Hi, Reb, Shalom Aleichem. He learned the Mashiach a long time. He learned Mashiach, it must have been 45 years ago. And so I said, what do you do for a living? So he's a radiologist, and he used to live in Los Angeles. And he tells me he used to make $2 million a year. Is it possible? As a radiologist, $2 million a year. And he says he decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. He has a wife and a family, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He moved to Savyan, where all the poor people live, I understand. He bought a home in Savyan. And he only makes $500,000 a year. And he says his wife can't yet get used to living in poverty. So I was going to give him a $5 bill to buy to buy a pair of socks. Never. So he had to come back to Los Angeles to see, can he get back a job? Can he move back to America? Because he can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not right. If a person has an opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael and to live a reasonable life, he's not going to be suffering. That's taka in the mitzvah. We all have a mitzvah. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. If it's going to be abnormal, he's going to have to live off of charity. So that's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael if you're going to live off of welfare, to live off of tzedakah. But if you'd be able to make a reasonable parnasa, or you can retire with the money that you have in America. And now it's a Jewish economy, so even though you're not earning the money in Eretz Yisrael, but you're spending it, so you're helping out the economy. So that certainly is, there definitely is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, there is a discussion in the Paskim. The Ramo has a klal that one is not obligated to spend more than one fifth of one's total savings to do any specific mitzvah. Let's say a person is in Alaska, Hawaii, I don't know, on Erev Sukkot, and he doesn't have dalaminim. So the only way to get dalaminim is if he makes a phone call and he spends $100,000 to get the dalaminim for the first day Sukkot. So if it's more than chaymish, more than one-fifth of his total savings, then he's not mechuyev. If it's less than one-fifth, he is mechuyev. So some poskim say that doesn't apply to the mitzvah of moving to Eretz Yisrael, because it means you'll never do the mitzvah. In Europe, they had a case like that. In order to be able to move to Eretz Yisrael, they have to blow in more than one-fifth of the total savings in order to travel to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the alternative? You live in Chutzal, you never do the mitzvah. So they say that's not the same. If this year you don't have Dalaminim, so next year you'll have Dalaminim. So last year you had Dalaminim. You fulfilled the mitzvah other years. This year you won't fulfill. But if it's a mitzvah that's once in a lifetime, and you just won't fulfill a mitzvah at all. So some of the poskim say you mechuyevim to spend more than one chaymish, more than one-fifth of one's total savings. We should all, we really, none of us belong here. We all really belong in Eretz Yisrael. Those who are preventing, we all think that, all the rabbis think that they're so indispensable. They're all saving the world from intermarriage and from, and so on, and assimilation. So those who are accomplishing, okay, should stay in Chutzlot. But whoever is not in that Bechina, really, we all should consider there's really a mitzvah min haTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us, we live in a generation, that He gave us the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael. I remember years ago, before they introduced the system that everybody goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael in between high school and college, so we were learning Yeridei in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. So he came to discuss a certain din in Shulchan Aruch. So he said, by show of hands, how many of you have ever visited Eretz Yisrael? Nobody. A class of 30, 35, but nobody raised their hand. Nobody had even visited Eretz Yisrael. He said, he visited Eretz Yisrael, and he knows about Tzfat. He said, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzfat, and it's on top of a mountain, and you have to pay the Arabs to bring up water, and that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have to do Hagola on the Kelim, it's not called a Dovash Yesh Matirin, you have to spend money. He says, it doesn't apply in America. We don't have to spend money to get water in order to kasha the Kelim. So he was explaining a din in the Shulchan Aruch, and he said, none of us had visited Eretz Yisrael. Now, Baruch Hashem, everybody has visited Eretz Yisrael. We know what it's all about. We should all really consider fulfilling this mitzvah like all the other mitzvahs. Have a good Yom Tov.